There are two things you have to pay attention to as you try to get the mind to settle down. One is your intention, and the other is the perceptions you use for the sake of that intention. Our intention here is to focus on one thing so that we can see the mind clearly. And then you choose an object to focus on. This is where the perception comes in. Say, for instance, you choose the breath. As you breathe in, breathe out, exactly where is the breath in the body? Remember, we're talking not about the flow of air in the nose, but the flow of energy in the body. As you breathe in, you may notice that the muscles around the ribs are expanding the rib cage. But what makes the muscles move? They're orders from the nerves. There's an energy that flows through the nerves. There's an energy that flows through the muscles. That would be breath. Can you feel that? Because if you perceive the breath simply as air coming in and out through the nose, it's hard to get a sense of well-being. To say this breath is comfortable, that breath is uncomfortable. It's all pretty neutral. And yet the Buddha wants you to have the ability to focus on the breath. Breathe in a way that makes you sensitive to pleasure. Breathe in a way that makes you sensitive to refreshment. The air in the nose is not all that refreshing. But the movement of the chest can be refreshing. If it's been tight, unenergized for a while, you give some more energy to it. It feels good just to expand the rib cage. And then notice what other muscles are involved. Because it's not just the muscles, it's the fascia, and the fascia goes through the body in all sorts of weird patterns. Some of the fascia that goes through the lungs, or around the lungs, goes up the back of your neck and then goes down through your pelvis, down your legs. Now the strips of fascia that go through your arms, they're all connected. And if you get really quiet and really sensitive, you can feel the movement. So when you perceive the breath, that's energy, and you can hold these images in your mind, hold these perceptions in your mind, and you find that the perceptions help you to settle down. They serve your intention. Then they're good perceptions. There's so many ways you can perceive your body right now. And you want to choose the ones that are helpful. Remember, perceptions give us a partial view of the world. They're kind of like cartoon sketches. The Buddha calls them mirages. Mirage gives a distorted picture of something off in the distance. And part of that distorted picture is actually accurate. Part of it's not. There's no perception that can give you all of reality. And you may find that the perceptions you use in the course of your normal life may be helpful for your normal life, but they may not be helpful for sitting here trying to get the mind quiet. So we're not using false perceptions. We're just using different perceptions, different ways of looking at things, a different framework for understanding things that's conducive to getting the mind to settle down with a sense of alertness. Alert not only to the breath, but also to the perceptions and intentions. I've been working on a book dealing with the different Dharma talks where people gain awakening while listening to the talk. And the most important factor in every case is that they were reflective. They not only looked at what the Buddha told them to look at, but they also looked at themselves looking at that. That's how they observed the mind. That's how they were able to see where they were clinging, where there was craving, how they could let it go. It's the same here. You get the mind focused, not on the mind itself, you get it focused on the breath. And then you reflect on the intentions that are there, the perceptions that are there, the other mental factors that are there. You watch the mind watching the breath. So the whole purpose of this is to get you sensitive to what you're doing. And if you simply say, well, I'll go by my old perceptions, because they're true for me. Well, they're true for some purposes, beneficial for some purposes, but not necessarily beneficial for these, getting the mind settled down here. So try to be very clear about your intentions. Be clear about your perceptions. And try playing with different perceptions to see which ones are most helpful to getting you sensitive to how you can breathe in a way that feels really good throughout the body, throughout the nerves, throughout all the fascia, throughout all the blood vessels. Similarly, issue when you're doing metta meditation, spreading thoughts of goodwill. That right there is a big issue, how you translate metta. Sometimes you hear it translated as loving kindness. Well, there's no love in metta. Metta is related to a metta, friend. Now, there may be a friendly love. It's more an attitude of friendliness. Because loving kindness makes it sound like we're trying to get warm fuzzies. But what you're trying to do is simply clear out your mind. Put aside the issues of the world for the time being. With goodwill for everyone. You're focusing in on your own mind, not out of aversion to other people, but simply because you realize that your important work has to be done right here. So for the time being, you wish goodwill for other people, but you have to focus in here. Here again, it's an issue of perception and intention. Your intention is to get the mind to be quiet so it can observe itself. Your perceptions of goodwill basically have to do with may all beings be happy. I'm bringing my attention inside, not out of aversion, but because this is where my priorities are at the moment. I've got work I have to do inside. Each of us has work we have to do inside. So I'm withdrawing from the world, but leaving goodwill. Then you reflect on how do people become happy? Not because you've spread pink clouds of goodwill off in every direction. They become happy because they act skillfully. This is what makes goodwill something you can extend to everybody, no matter how they've behaved in the past. Someone's been behaving horribly. May they see the error of their ways. Stop behaving horribly. Start acting in skillful ways. That's a thought you can have for everyone. And it is genuine goodwill. And the Buddha says you develop goodwill with directed thought and evaluation, with no directed thought and a modicum of evaluation, without directed thought and without evaluation. What this means is you don't just think goodwill and spread it in all directions and be done with it. You have to think it through. Is there anyone out there for whom you can't feel goodwill? For whom you can't make that wish? You may think of some people who've been behaving horribly and you'd like to see them get their just desserts first. But how many people really connect their unskillful actions with them? Suffering they're undergoing. Many people have good reactions in the past and they've suddenly changed. They don't see any connection. They can do anything they want, they feel. And it's easy to hope that, well, maybe they get jolted into some more consciousness. Then you might want to see them suffer a little bit. But that doesn't really help. The best thing in the world is when people wake up to what they're doing. So you think through cases like this. In the beginning, you have to go one by one by one because different people appear to your awareness. You work through all the individual cases. And then the next time you sit down, it's a lot easier to go through those cases. That's what the directed thought and evaluation is all about in metta, understanding what it means, dealing with cases where it's hard, clearing out the issues. you find that as you do this, your mind gets freed from a lot of thoughts of revenge, lots of thoughts of righteous anger. So we're not playing pretend here. We're actually working through our attitudes toward goodwill for the sake of getting the mind to settle down. So whether you're working with the breath or working with metta, be careful about your perceptions. Be clear about your intentions. Your perceptions are there to serve your intentions. And here again, there are many different ways you could perceive the world. But we're perceiving it in a way that helps the mind to focus in on itself, to observe itself in action as it tries to get into concentration. So think of goodwill in a way that allows you to drop whatever issues you have with other people. The Buddha never talks about forgiveness as part of goodwill, but it is related. Forgiveness in the Buddhist way of things is not so much that you forget or try to love the other person. It simply means that you are not going to try to get revenge for whatever they've done. That can be part of metta. You want to bring the mind to the present moment without issues that tear it back to the world. And so think thoughts of goodwill in a way that helps to clear up Think of goodwill in a way that helps you to clear out old resentments. Think of the breath in a way that allows you to settle down here with a sense of well-being. Clearly aware of what the mind is doing. The well-being makes it easier to deal with unskillful things that are appearing in the mind that you may feel bad about. The clarity is what enables you to see where you're causing yourself unnecessary suffering, even sometimes in the concentration itself. Although suffering might be too strong a word, but wherever there's stress, wherever there's any disturbance, you want the clarity to see that. So when your perceptions are helpful for the sake of getting the mind to settle down here, then use them. Where they're not useful, they may be useful for other purposes, but you can put them aside for the time being. You've got work to do right here. So maintain the intention to get the mind still so you can see it clearly. And use whatever perceptions help you settle down here with a sense of well-being, solidity, no issues with anybody outside at all, so you can deal with your own issues inside. Because as the Buddha points, it's your issues inside are the ones that are causing you suffering right now, bringing stress right now. That's the work that has to be done.